This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop, Backstage Pass, Metal Shop. We're talking with Brittany Slays from Unleash the Archers. Just dropped the mammoth record, Abyss. It's available now on Napalm Records. They are from Vancouver, BC, so our brothers and sisters to the north. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to go there right now with, the entire world going into crazy pandemic lockdown. And speaking of that, first off, Brittany, congratulations on the new record. It's awesome. How have you been the last few months?
Busy. I honestly have been just like balls to the wall the whole time because of this release.
Yeah.
There's been so much to do. So many things to organize, merch and art and printing of CDs and vinyl and music videos and, the mix and master and interviews and just like, oh man, it's been crazy. So hasn't really felt like a pandemic to me. There's been constantly something to do. So that's kind of nice. But yeah, I mean, it sucks because now it's finally out there and we can't hit the road and tour like we normally would. So it's kind of, it's ups and downs, that's for sure. But I'm sure everyone knows that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned staying busy, and that's probably the best thing to do is you just keep your mind active and not, stressed out about the really depressing news or things going on. Mm-hmm. You just keep your mind busy and stuff. If we were at a normal time, I would imagine you guys would probably be heading out right now or on tour. Would you guys be on Europe playing festivals? What would your normal time frame be like right now?
Yeah, we would have been back from Europe by now. We had a whole bunch of festivals booked for the summer that have all been pushed back to 2021, but the last one would have been like two weekends ago. So, and we were actually planning to hit the road through North America right now. So we would have actually been probably maybe somewhere around Seattle. I'm not too sure. It was the plan to do that and then to hit Australia afterwards. So there was some really cool stuff coming down the pipe that had to be shut down, unfortunately. So, but hopefully we can get it together and get it back on the road next year.
Well, things just going to have to be pushed down a little bit down the road and whatnot, and we'll stay positive about it. But you guys are staying busy on your own thing. You guys have a live stream planned, is that right?
Yeah, we actually did it last weekend.
I'm sorry.
No worries. It was the day after the album came out. It was our Abyss album release party, and we did a 90-minute set, pre-recorded, because we didn't want to deal with internet, but... And then we just streamed it for 24 hours on Saturday to give the fans a live show experience when, even though we can't go to live shows. So did our best to make it as energetic and like the real thing as possible. And it was a lot of fun.
From your perspective, I mean, you being the singer in this like very energetic band, you probably feed off the energy of the live crowd. Was it kind of awkward or odd at all to kind of transition into just doing it like on a soundstage?
Oh yes. it was very strange. Many times I had to remind myself that I was on stage and it's like, oh, open your eyes and look at the camera.
Right. Yeah.
it's difficult without people there looking at you and passing that energy back and forth between one another and, So we just had to constantly remind ourselves to focus on the camera and remember that everyone is behind the camera. They're all there. They're watching and waiting. Yeah. So, you know, we had to bring our own energy, and it was super tiring, but it was a lot of fun. And I think, you know, from the comments that people were posting and things like that afterwards, I think we did a good job of trying to make it as much like a real live show as possible. And we're constantly talking to them, you know, in between the songs, like we normally would, and making jokes up there. So cool. I think it was a success. Yeah.
Right on. Well, so the new album, you mentioned you guys played this record release kind of showcase of it live stream, and which is awesome. The new album is available now on Napalm Records. It's called Abyss. So you guys have gotten a lot of success over the last few years through touring, and you've gotten a bit bigger. Your profile has expanded beyond, how did you feel any pressure going into this new album? Like, was there any added pressure going into it? And did you guys approach the album any different?
Absolutely. Yeah, we felt the pressure for sure. We knew that our fans, most of our fans had discovered us through Apex, which was the album that we released in 2017.
Yeah.
And they all really loved that record. And Abyss is the sequel to Apex. So they're both concept albums, and they both tell the story of one main character. So it was really important to our fans that it either meet or exceed their expectations after Apex. So yeah, for sure. We had it was constantly in our minds, you know, oh man, are people going to like this? Is it too far out there? Like we did our best to continue that same feeling of Apex, but in a whole new way. And we definitely experimented on this record, and we tried to make it a different record. We didn't want to write Apex 2. We didn't want to write the same record over again. So we did our best to try and make it as different as possible. But there were, you know, there's always some things that you just can't change. It's about who you are as songwriters and what you know, the styles that you choose. So, you know, there's parts of it that people are just like, oh yeah, no, that's an Unleash the Archer song. But then there's definitely parts that are kind of like, well, this is new.
Yeah. That's rad. Well, I'm curious about your background with music and metal and just altogether your voice. I mean, it sounds like you definitely have some classical training, because like you have such a beast of a voice. But I was wondering about what was like your first favorite metal band? Like, what made you fall in love with metal, with hard rock?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I discovered Megadeth.
Nice. Okay.
And that really got me into heavier music. They weren't my favorite band. I definitely really enjoyed like White Zombie and Tool and Pantera and Incubus back in the day.
Yeah.
And like a different, you know, heavier bands. But it wasn't until I turned 18 and then I discovered like traditional power metal and just heavy metal in general, like Maiden and Judas Priest and Queensryche and, you know, all the greats, Ronnie James Dio. That was really kind of where I discovered heavy metal that I really loved. So, I mean, my favorite band is probably Iron Maiden, and next to them, Lost Horizon.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. But, you know, I was young. High school metal was definitely not cool, so I did not really listen to much in high school. But I kind of rediscovered it when I graduated. So that's really where it all came back to me.
Well, when did you discover your voice? Were you singing before that? Did you grow up singing? When did you find out you had such a powerful like range and such an epic voice?
Well, I had been singing since I was little, very little. And so as soon as I was old enough, my mom put me in the local like community choir.
Okay.
And so I was in choir for 20 years before I started a metal band. And so it was all classical training and a lot of musical theater as well. I did musical theater classes, and I took a few sort of formal training lessons and that kind of thing. But for the most part, where I got most of my training was through choir. And in university, I did a lot of music classes and we were in, I was in a chamber choir in university, so we did mostly classical pieces.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I learned the most, absolutely, by far, was in university. And I mean, I wasn't in the music program, but I took every course that was open to those that weren't. So that was a, you know, really good time. And then, but yeah, I was never like the star of the show or anything. I definitely was far from it. So it wasn't until I started the band that I really started to experiment with my own voice and see where I could go and what I could do. And, you know, when I was in choir, it was always kind of, I was an alto, but then if they needed more voices on soprano, it'd be like, Brittany, move over there, sing the soprano
part. Oh, cool, yeah.
Brittany, we need a second soprano here. Go move there and sing that part. And I didn't really realize at the time that it was because I had a bigger range.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really discovered it through Unleash the Archers, actually, I guess.
Well, you are certainly one of the most powerful vocalists like in metal today. And I think that's one thing that really stands out about the band. So, you know, I'm not, there's no question here, but you guys, your voice is awesome. What gave you the confidence to stand up and to become like the one in front and the vocalist and the vocalist for a pretty popular metal band? What gave you the confidence to go up there and do it?
Well, seeing local metal bands in university. So Scott and I started dating in first year, and he was playing in a metal band at the time, and I was constantly going to their shows. And I had like gone to shows before, but it was always bigger bands when they would come through, and mm-hmm. never had I been a part of like the local metal band scene.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is really cool. I love this. This is like such an awesome place.
Yeah. You can do it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, these are just normal people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was really 3 inches of blood that
yes.
kind of tipped it over for me there. Yeah. When I saw them, I was just like, these are just a bunch of guys from Vancouver and they're like touring the world. I definitely need to front a metal band.
Yeah.
And so when Scott's band broke up, I immediately was like, let's start a band and I'm going to be the singer. And he was like, okay. And just kind of went from there.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. And you were just like, screw it. Let's do it. These 3 inches of blood guys, they're just nerds at like D&D and they're going around the world and friggin' slaying it. Mm-hmm. And they're signed to a big label. Let's do it. That's awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So I got to ask this. What's the most awkward time you've ever had on stage throughout the years? Have you ever had a flub? You ever screwed up? You ever fallen off the stage? You ever, you know, had to like shut it down for a minute because you had to go to the bathroom? Any weird or awkward moments?
No, but I mean, well, yes, I definitely forgot the words in General of the Dark Army one time.
Okay.
It's one of our older songs.
Yeah.
And we hadn't played it in a really long time. And yeah, it was really weird. It was like, oh man, I started singing. I do this sometimes. I started singing the second verse at the first verse.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh no. I was like, that's not right. And then I just started second guessing myself. And then I literally just had to sing gibberish or like, I think I held the mic out to the audience most of the time.
There you go.
I was just like, oh no, I'm so lost. And then I didn't pick it up until like the chorus. I was so mad at myself. But then of course I nailed the second verse because I remembered that one. But yeah, that was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot my own song. But sometimes if you think too hard about it, like I know the General of the Dark Army front to back.
Yeah.
I could sing it in my sleep. You know what I mean? I could probably do an incredibly difficult task while singing that song. But I think I was just overthinking
mm-hmm.
it, and I was like focusing too much on the actual song, and I didn't just let my body do it.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's always when you think too hard about something, that's always when you screw it up. So,
in those circumstances that you just mentioned, that's when it pays off to sing for a brutal death metal band where you could just go and you don't actually even have to sing anything.
Exactly. Those guys are so lucky.
You kind of wonder, like, they've got to have just kind of improvised sometimes. They have to have.
At some point, you think, maybe, yeah.
Okay, so I have a question, and excuse me, you probably have to reiterate this several times. I've actually listened to an interview where you've talked about this, but for our listeners, please humor me with this one. When I hear the term female-fronted metal, it kind of makes me cringe just because that's not a genre. That doesn't describe a genre at all. What do you have against the description? Like, what do you think about when you hear female-fronted metal?
Well, I mean, it's not a genre. I definitely agree with that. If you're saying it as a genre, like, oh, I don't listen to female-fronted metal, then yeah, you can just F off. But it's just a descriptor like anything else, you know? Oh, they play black metal, or they play this or that or whatever, you know? So when you say, it's a whole scene, really. It is. Female-fronted metal is more of a scene than anything. There are people out there that are going to listen to female-fronted bands regardless of what genre they play. It's just kind of the way things are. So, I mean, it's not like I have a particular hatred for that word, female-fronted. But it's kind of like, yeah, don't use it as a genre, and certainly don't judge the band because of it.
Yeah.
Do not do that. If you see someone, you know, if you got a friend telling you about a band and they say, oh yeah, and it's female fronted, don't be like, oh well, I'm not going to listen to it then, because you wouldn't do that for a male fronted band.
Exactly.
You wouldn't. So just that's it. That's really the only thing, is that just don't judge the music based on it, because that's not that's when you're treating it like a genre, like all females sing exactly the same way and play exactly the same music. And it's not true. Just in the same way that no guys play the exact same or sound exactly the same or have the same level of talent or, you know, whatever. So that's really the big part to me. Yeah.
I think I'm going to start using the term like a middle-aged, balding white guy, fronted metal band.
Yes. Oh my god, yes, please do that.
And people will be like, huh? Like, yeah,
that's... Well, you know what that sounds like, right?
Yeah,
like balding white guy metal.
And they'll be like, what, there's so many different genres I could describe. So
you get it.
I'm just going to put you on the spot with this one, and I know that you could probably have a dozen different answers, but just off the top of your head, what are four albums that have had a positive effect on your life?
The Living Infinite by Soilwork.
Awesome.
Operation Mindcrime by Queensryche.
Yeah.
The Hours That Remain by Mercenary.
Okay.
And Brave New World by Iron Maiden.
Man, I was just revisiting Brave New World. That was such like an awesome comeback record with Bruce.
Wasn't it?
Just so
the
cool.
Best.
So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, just a couple more questions for you. First off, if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
I have a huge scar on my shin from one time when I was hanging out with my friends. We were getting a little boozy, of course.
Uh-huh.
And we were all jumping out of the top window of this little like house rancher thing that my friend lived in.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't very high, but it was like a weird crawl space. And the window was open beneath us. And I went to push off the wall of the house, and instead my foot went right through the window, and I just fell and smashed my shin on the windowsill beneath and just like split it wide open.
Jesus.
But of course I was like, you know, I was a little tipsy, so I was like, oh, just put a piece of duct tape on it, and like I literally just sealed it up with duct tape and kept partying and then never dealt with it.
You never got stitches or anything?
Nope. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Whoa. Damn, how long ago was that? You're like last week? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Okay. All right. Wow. Brutal. Right on. Well, again, this is Brittany Slays from the band Unleash the Archers. Epic new album Abyss is available now on Napalm Records. Pick it up, support them. So many awesome underground bands are in need right now some help during this time when they can't play. Their main source of income has been completely cut, so now we got to support them. Buy some merch, buy a t-shirt, buy a you know, give them a little boost. Do you have any final words for Seattle and the Northwest audience? I know you guys are technically Northwest. Any words for your brothers and sisters down south?
Come hang out on Twitch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you shout that out real quick? What's your Twitch stream and what do you guys, have going on Twitch?
I am twitch.tv/BrittanySlaysUTA and I just play video games. And Andrew is on there, twitch.tv/AndrewKingsleyUTA, and he writes music like on the spot, on the fly. And then Grant's on there as well, /GrantTruestell, and he kind of just plays along to his favorite tunes, that kind of thing. And then Unleash the Archers is on there as well, but we don't get up there too often. We're just hoping to do kind of like, you know, Zoom call, Friday night hangouts with beers, that kind of thing. So that's /UnleashTheArchers.
Right on. Thank you so much for taking the time to do the interview, Brittany. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.